Good morning. I love that we could keep going with community time. So that's a good sign. Good job, Jason, this morning with worship. That was really good.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness. Hey, good morning to you. We have a couple announcements. The first one is related to youth. First off, we do not have youth group tonight, but we have the dinner here, so come to that. And I'll get to that in a moment, but that's at 5. We are going to do on the 21st at 6 o'clock, we're doing a Christmas party for the youth. And it's going to be at the Isaiah Cafe. And we're going to do some Christmas movies and food, and it's going to be great. So it's the 21st at 6 o'clock. We do have winter camp for youth coming up, and winter camp is awesome. And for a few years ago, I was blessed with the opportunity to lead worship a couple of years in a row at winter camp. And I think I was more blessed by the kids than I blessed the kids, because they go there and you see this transformation happen in just a weekend, where they get there and they're all coming from different places and feeling a little overwhelmed from school and from our culture and all the things they're bombarded with. But what happens is that they're able to set that aside and become a child again. And for such is the kingdom of God, amen. Right. And when that innocence and that childhood comes back out, wow, they start to see and hear God. And then by the end of the weekend, you see kids just on fire for God and excited for Him, and many salvations and many gifts of the Spirit and second blessings, the whole nine yards. It's amazing, and it's priceless. It really is priceless. The cost is, to send them to the camp is $150 for the weekend, which would be a great Christmas gift for any middle school from grade 6 up to high school grade 12 to send them. We're looking for sponsors so that kids who don't have the financial resources can go. We want every kid to go, every child to go if they want to. So if you want to do that and you want to make that offering, please let me know, Pastor Tim, Pastor JJ, and we'll help you do that. So it's January 6th is the deadline for registration. So that's coming soon. It's coming up fast. So it'd be a great Christmas gift. And the camp is January 25th to the 27th. Next, we have, I think it's the journaling announcement.
Yep.
So men's journaling is on Wednesdays and Fridays at 6:30 a.m. And you're there both times.
Right? I'm usually there Wednesdays.
You're there on Wednesdays. Okay.
Sometimes I go Fridays.
If you're not journaling yet, you should. Journaling follows a reading plan that's in our journals. And there's a method for studying scripture that's in here called the SOAP method. And it's very simple. And it slows you down to listen for what God is saying to you through that text in that moment. And it slows you down enough to hear that. Because sometimes when we read scripture, we just plow right through and it's like, oh, that was nice. But what was God saying?
Yeah.
And so this allows you to hear it and then to write it down and to reflect on it and then to pray, to write a prayer. And then the cool part about journaling is that you share what God is saying with others in the group, which is helpful for all of us, whether you're a new believer and learning how to journal, or if you're seasoned and adept at this, everyone is blessed. So the journals are $5, and if that's a problem, then we'll figure it out. I'd rather have you have a journal than none. So just let me know, and we want you journaling. We want you read in God's Word, because that's our food, that's our bread. And women have a group as well, and that is on Wednesdays at 9 at the Karma Cafe on 72 Church Street. And it's great to be doing this out in cafe, because then others can be blessed by that as well. And sometimes you'll have people who will listen in and be like, oh my goodness, I have questions, and that happens. And so God uses it. And lastly, we have our meal tonight. It's our family dinner at 5 Ooh. O'clock, which is awesome. And so after service, please, 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 I'm looking for some individuals to help to move some of the chairs and set up some tables. It's not, if there's a few volunteers, it won't take that long. And we'd just be so blessed to have your help with this, with setting up. The meal is at 5, so we're going to set up right after service and then leave it and then come back. And then on December 16th, we're doing a family movie night. And we've already revealed the movie, right?
Yeah.
You can say, okay, so we're going to watch Elf.
Yes.
Which is a great movie. And we'll have munchies and popcorn and stuff like that to go along with it. On December 24th, we're doing our Christmas Eve candle lighting service. And that's going to be one service this year. So please try to make these events. These are a chance to grow our community and all be together. So, amen.
Amen.
All right, I'm going to pass it off to Pastor Tim.
Awesome. Amen. Thank you, Pastor
Greg.
I got my little table over here. Come on, everybody. How are we doing? It's been a good day to be in God's house. Oh, my, my, my. I'm really excited about tonight. Looking forward to coming and eating some of your food. So we're having a hot cocoa bar. We're going to have water and coffee. And so make sure you bring enough to feed 6 to 8 people. Because it's going to be a really great time. So if you have a favorite thing that you love to cook, we might even exchange some recipes. Last year, I got a couple of recipes because some of the stuff was so good. I was like, I got to get that recipe. And so people were kind and shared their recipes. And so now I get to make it at home, too. So it's not just once a year I get to eat it. It's more often. Well, let's go and get into the Word. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, as you're turning in the Word, I would like to share a quick testimony. Can I share a quick testimony with you?
Yes.
All right. Awesome. I think you're going to really enjoy this. It's kind of a bittersweet testimony. Many of you may or may not know our friend Teddy. Teddy, I hadn't seen him for a little while because we moved from the mill over to here, and it was kind of tough for some of our friends who would join us at the mill to get over here to the Bean Center. But I saw Teddy was here. He was here 3 weeks ago, and he went home to be with the Lord, and had what we had thought was an overdose. Actually, was not. There was an overdose. He went to the hospital, and we thought there was a second, but his nephew, was it his nephew or his cousin?
Cousin.
Thank you. His cousin said it straight. He said, no, here's what happened. There was a prescription that he was given that he had an allergic reaction to that caused him to pass away. So, which was, you kind of feel bad saying, well, thank you, Lord, that it wasn't the overdose like we thought. But then it's like, well, but he still lost his life. Now, here's the bittersweet part. I had the honor of speaking at his memorial service last Wednesday over at Isaiah 61 Cafe. And saw a lot of our friends over there. And towards the end of our time together, I said, you know, I gave a call for salvation. Who'd like to make Jesus Lord of their life? And we prayed a prayer together. I said, who prayed that prayer for the first time? 18 hands. Boom. Just like that. And I just said, thank you, Jesus. Now, here's why that is so awesome. Number one, the Bible says your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Number two, for many of our friends, well, for all of our friends who attend Isaiah 61 Cafe, those of you who know Dave and Don Longbell, Don is always, she's always playing praise and worship. They always have teaching going on. So they are being immersed in the Word of God. And so to people who would say, well, that's great. Well, what are we doing for discipleship and growth? If you hang out at Isaiah 61, you're going to grow in your walk with the Lord. And you're going to grow because there's people there who love seeing people become who Jesus wants them to be. Is it a process? Does it take time? Yeah, every single one of us are in a process, aren't we?
Amen.
So I thought I've got to share that great news with you because it's like I said, it's a bittersweet victory because if you knew Teddy, Teddy was a great guy. I love that guy. He always kind of had this swagger. I talked about it a little bit Wednesday night. He wasn't the guy. I'd walk downtown and I'd bump into him all the time. And you know, I'm the guy who was like, "Hey, Teddy, what's going on?" And Teddy was always like, "Hey, Pastor, what's up?" He always just kind of had this smooth, you know, had this, his hair was always, you know, spiky and put in place, and he was always looking sharp. And so so I'm looking forward to seeing Teddy one day. Not yet, but one day it'll be nice to have a sweet reunion with our brother. So let's turn in the Word. Luke chapter 2 is where we're going to be. Last week, we began our Advent series, and we looked at hope. Our Advent series, we're calling Merry and Bright. Now, I gotta share. Now, can I share a funny story with you? Okay, I'll share it with you anyway. Thank you. I'll share it with you guys. So, several weeks ago, when I was working on the graphic design for this, JJ and I were looking at different fonts, you know, because whenever you as a graphic designer, you want things to really look good, catch people's attention, and go, "Hey, that looks nice." I don't like looking at hokey dokey stuff, you know, stuff that, you know, I could do. I don't know. Anyway. So we're downloading the font, and I type in Merry and Bright. We're playing with it, and I look at it, and I put it on my screen, and I flip the screen around because I'm working on my laptop, and so I do this kind of thing, and I go, "JJ, does that look like it says Messy and Bright to you?" And she goes, "No, it looks like Merry and Bright." I said, "Okay, because I kind of see both." And she goes, "I think it looks fine." I said, "Okay, I think it looks fine too, and I like the font." So we went with the font. So last week... So we have the thing posted on our church Facebook page, right? And so somebody makes a comment, you may or may not have seen it, "Messy and Bright?" question mark. And so then I pick up my phone and I go, "JJ, look." And because I kind of laughed out loud. She goes, "What are you laughing at?" I said, "Look at this comment somebody put up, Messy and Bright?" question mark. And I thought, well, you know, both really can preach. Messy and Bright, Merry and Bright. But the title of the series is Merry and Bright. And so let's go ahead and look at this here in Luke chapter 2. We'll be reading with starting with verse 11, and it reads this way. It says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Lord, we want to say thank you for your word today. Lord, as we get into your word, I pray, Jesus, that we wouldn't just hear a message, that we wouldn't just hear words being spoken, but Lord, that you would reach deep down inside of us with the power of the word of God and transform us so that we're not just hearers of your word, but that we would be doers of your word. In Jesus' name. If you agree with that, would you say amen? Amen. So now it's interesting. As I began looking and praying and reading and thinking through the message for today earlier this past week, I'm looking at the Advent schedule and here's, okay, you ready for another moment of transparency? So I'm looking at it and my first thought was, man, I'm preaching on love again. I preached on love a lot this year. And it kind of, as soon as the thoughts crossed my mind, I felt the Holy Spirit go, "And?" I thought, okay, forgive me, Lord. Because we've talked about the love of God a lot this year, haven't we? We look back to the beginning of the year. We were in a series called Pressing into Blessing, talking about stewardship and how do we steward what God has blessed us with, our finances, our time, our talent, and our treasure. Are we giving God back what he has so graciously given us because he loves us and we love him and we just want to be givers because God's a giver? God loves us, and because he loves us, we can love him in return. There's another series that we looked at, that we were looking at the fruit of the Spirit called the Nine. Interesting that the very first fruit of the Spirit is what? Help me out.
Love.
Interesting. It's love, then joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But we talked about the fruit of love. And how God's love is a love that will always lay itself down for others. God knew we needed a Savior. That's why he sent us Jesus. Amen. If you're thankful for Jesus, tell your neighbor, "I'm thankful for Jesus." And then after we were in the series, the Nine, we looked at spiritual warfare. But then we also looked at this series called Superpowered. And we talked about this phrase. We said the spirit of the gifts of the Spirit is love. It says, if you can prophesy, but if you don't have love, You can do all this great stuff, but if you don't love people, it's not going to have the effect because you're not operating in a spirit of love that God has us and desires for us to operate in. It's interesting to note that in 1 Corinthians 13, we read all about what love is. Love is patient, love is kind, so on and so forth. But then in 1 Corinthians 12, if you step back, we look at a lot of the gifts of the Spirit. And then you go to 1 Corinthians 14, and it's the administration or the working of the gifts of the Spirit. And the love of God is sandwiched right in between what the gifts are and how they function. The spirit of the gifts of the Spirit is love. So we've talked a lot about the love of God this year. And so I found myself thinking, okay, Lord, we've really talked a lot about the love of God. What angle do you want me to take this Sunday as we start talking about your love? As last Sunday we lit the prophet's candle, the candle of hope, and this Sunday we lit the Bethlehem candle or the candle of love, and thought, Lord, where are we going? And Wednesday morning, you heard Pastor Greg talking a few moments ago about our men's journaling time. We always come together and we'll get into the word, and like Pastor Greg mentioned a moment ago, we follow the SOAP method where you read a scripture. So there's a plan that we have in here. You should read a scripture. The O is for observation. What are you observing? The A is the application. How does this apply to me? And then there's the prayer, which a majority of the prayers that I write in my journal and I pray are God help me prayers. Because I just need God to help me. I'm just a hot mess most of the time. And I just say, Jesus, help me. I am a mess without you. And so I've got 2 points today that I want to talk about. And they're 2 really simple points. The first one is this. And you notice I've got my little, you're probably wondering what this is. This is my prop for the day. And we'll talk more about this in a minute. This is pure vanilla extract. Somebody asked me first service. They said, Pastor, are you going to drink that? I said, no, I'm not going to drink it. But it sure smells good. But we'll talk more about that in a minute. So my first point is this. Imitation or imitators? Imitation or imitators? If you're taking notes, that's where we're going to go look at our first point today. See, everything that God does is based out of his love for you and I, isn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Everything that God does is based out of his love for us. And it's no surprise that we keep coming back to this as we've been looking in the word this year. See, every day we can live in God's endless love in real and practical ways. We just sang a little while ago, light of the world, love without end. God's love has no beginning, it has no end. God just loves us, and he always will. So it's kind of like, sorry, you're just stuck with God. He just loves you. You're stuck with him. That's a good person to be stuck with. So this is definitely the season to be imitators of God and reflect his endless love to everybody around us in a myriad of different ways. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to read my journal entry from this past Wednesday. So if you were there this past Wednesday, guys, you're going to get a do-over. So forgive me. For those of us, if you weren't there, this was our time together. Like Pastor Greg shared, we'll come together, we read the word, and then we'll share what the Lord was putting on our hearts. So the title of this one is called To Be More Like God, because who doesn't want to be more like God? Maybe the devil, but I want to be more like God. So my scripture references were Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, and then Psalm 119, 11 and 37. And it's interesting, oftentimes, as passages are put together, you see correlations as the Holy Spirit breathes on what you're reading that you maybe have never seen before. So this is from Wednesday morning. Here's Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, everybody say therefore. Therefore, be imitators of God. There we go. Be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Then I jumped over to Psalm 119, verses 11 and 37. And it says, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Then verse 37 says, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Now, here's how these passages, how the Holy Spirit breathed on these passages for me Wednesday morning. Here's my observation. How do I imitate God as a dear, beloved child and walk in love like Jesus? How do I do this? By hiding God's word in my heart and turning my eyes from looking at worthless things and being revived in his way. That's how I imitate God. Sounds pretty good, huh? Now, here's the process that the Lord was speaking to me. Number one, hide God's word in my heart. It's a great place to start. Hide God's word in my heart. Then I write, be in God's word consistently, not just to check it off my list, but to spend time with him so he can speak to me and bring transformation to my life. Just because I have an R-E-V in front of my name doesn't mean that Tim Versalono, Reverend Versalono, has arrived. We won't arrive until we see Jesus face to face. Then we will have arrived. But until then, sweetheart, we're all in process. Every single one of us. So I've got to hide God's word in my heart, number one. Number two, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things. What are the things that fill my schedule? Now, let me unpack this for just a second here. Because some of us, worthless things, they're all different to every single one of us, aren't there? There's a lot of things that will fill my time, that will fill my schedule. And Tuesday night, JJ and I were laying in bed, and we're having a conversation that we wanted to make sure that we came to a good conclusion with, because the Bible says, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. And so we had a conversation that took a little bit longer than we thought, but it was a great conversation. It was pretty straightforward. And as we were talking,
we were arguing. We're human.
Here's what my wife tells me. We're laying in bed, and she tells me this. Are you ready for this? Husbands, get ready to go. Oh, that was good. She said, why don't you just be who God made you to be? And she said it just about like that. But can I tell you something? I needed to hear it. And it was interesting that the very next passage that I read on Wednesday morning was this passage. What are the worthless things? Because there's plenty of stuff that fills my schedule. It's not that I'm looking at worthless things online or trying to keep my eyes from that billboard that I shouldn't look at for the second glance. How many guys that I'm talking about? But there's worthless things that fill my time because they're just things that got to get done. And if I don't do them, nobody's going to do them. And I hear this. Why don't you just be who God made you to be? And I thought, Holy Spirit, thank you for speaking through my wife words of truth that I needed to hear that were fitted with gloves of love. Because if she didn't love me, she wouldn't have said it. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things. What are the things that fill my schedule? What do I need to prioritize? What responsibilities and tasks do I need to bring into order? What's chewing my time? What are the worthless things? Number three. So here's the process. Hide God's word in my heart. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things. Number three. Imitate God. Here it comes. And walk in his love and his way. Who better to imitate than God? But it's not like imitation or fake vanilla. As I imitate him, I become more like him, which causes me to walk in love and be revived or have new life in his way. Here was my prayer. Lord, work your process in me and help me cooperate with you all the time. Amen. Because we're really good. Honestly, we're really good at cooperating some of the time or most of the time, aren't we? But what would our lives look like if we cooperated with the Lord all of the time? Amen. I want to know and live your word, not look at worthless things, and be more like you. And then here it comes, the last line of my prayer. Jesus, help me. As I read this, a couple of the brothers were writing down a few things that stuck out to them as well. And then another brother who was there Wednesday morning shared his. And one thing that he read, it was Kevin Panette. Kevin is my journal hero. He gets stuff that I just go, dude, you should like preach all the time. He said this, submission is self-control with obedience.
Hallelujah.
Let me say that again. Submission, okay, because we live in a world that doesn't like to submit to anybody or anything anybody says, right? Well, I don't like the way you're saying it, so I'm going to do it my way. Well, you do things your way, and I'll do things my way, and we'll be good. But God says that submission is self-control with obedience. I want to obey what God tells me to do. I want to be the man that God wants me to be. I want my family and my marriage and our church to be how God intends it to be. And I need to submit my plans to him and say, God, you just do what you want to do, and I want to stay in line with how you see this thing happening. Because we live in a world that says, well, I got my truth and you got your truth and your truth might be different than mine, but as long as I speak my truth, it's all good. You know what? I don't care about your truth if it's not the truth, the fact that the Bible says, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. I'm not saying what you have to say is invaluable. Do you hear me? I'm not saying that who you are is unimportant. That's not what I'm saying. You can be totally honest and hopped up on something, but can be sincerely wrong if your truth does not line up with the truth of the Word of God. Now, this was really kind of interesting. As I began thinking about vanilla a little bit more, the Holy Spirit and I began having a really cool conversation. So check out this next slide. I did kind of a cross-section of a bunch of grocery stores in the Lakes region. So this is an 8-ounce bottle of imitation vanilla flavor. You can pick this up for right about $2.49. That's a pretty good deal, huh? $2.50 for fake vanilla. Yeah. So I also was looking, thought, okay, so if I can get 8 ounces of fake vanilla for $2.50, how about 8 ounces of pure vanilla extract? Now, let me ask, take a guess. How much you think that costs?
$13.
$13. Somebody else?
18.
How much?
30.
18. More?
35.
35. More? 40. You're close. You ready? Look at this. Jason was here last service. You knew the answer, Jason. You're not supposed to say that. You knew it. $42 for 8 ounces from the same grocery store. Now, I'm not going to tell you the store because you're going to be like, I'm not going to shop at that store because I can get it at Walmart for less. I don't want to get nasty calls from the grocery store and say, why are you telling people? $42 for pure vanilla, the same amount. But here's what's interesting. When you look at the label, this is only 2 ounces of vanilla. We keep this in the cupboard for making the cookies because how many know, when you make chocolate chip cookies, you got to have the good stuff. Amen. If you want to have good cookies. And my wife makes the best cookies. I'm sorry, if you make good cookies, you haven't had my wife's yet because it's grandma's recipe. And how many know grandma's cookies are always the best cookies? Then you get a cold glass of milk. Okay, I'm digressing. So here's the ingredients of pure vanilla extract. Vanilla, water, and alcohol. Because alcohol is used to extract the flavor from the bean. I didn't know that before. That's why when you smell the pure stuff, it always is like, whoo, that's got a little bit of kick to it. I didn't even bother. I don't mind going to bother reading the imitation stuff because it's about 8 or 9 or 10 or 12 different items. It's got vanilla in it, but it's also got caramel flavoring. It's got high fructose corn syrup. It's got a whole bunch of stuff. Here's what's interesting. As I continued to read this article, there was a survey or a study that they did. They said, okay, we're going to talk to 100 people. We're going to bake sugar cookies and chocolate chip cookies with vanilla extract, pure vanilla extract, and we're going to bake the other half of them with the imitation vanilla. And I thought, well, this ought to be interesting, so I kept reading. It's interesting that a majority of the people out of the 100 people from the study for the sugar cookies and for the chocolate chip cookies actually preferred the imitation flavor compared to the pure flavor, which I thought, that's interesting. And then the Holy Spirit shared something else with me. You want to hear what he told me?
Yeah.
He said, how many people are so comfortable with the imitation love that the world has to offer, and they don't understand the pure love that I want to give them.
Yeah.
And they don't know the difference. Some people, when they had the stuff made with the real stuff, they said, I'll take the fake stuff over the real stuff. Wow. If that is not indicative of the world that we live in, hey, come get this. We got this. This'll last you forever. And you wind up empty. Because we live in a world that needs to experience the love that we have to share with them. Because what manner of love has the Father given to us that we should be called the sons of God? God loves us just that much. He didn't just send a $2.50 Jesus to die on the cross. Jesus gave it all.
Amen.
And it's the most expensive thing because it cost him his life. But there's nothing more powerful than the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
So let's not be imitation, but let's be imitators of God. There's who better to imitate? See, if you put more imitation vanilla flavor in vanilla flavor, it just tastes more vanilla-y. It doesn't make it more vanilla, does it? It just makes it more flavored like it. Let's be filled with the pure love of God that will make people's lives merry and bright. Thank you, Lord. Here we go. Number two. Love that's alive grows fruit that remains. Love that's alive grows fruit that remains. Turn with me to the book of John, would you? The book of John, chapter 15. I want to read a passage to you that we have prayed over our oldest daughter for a long time. It was Shay's scripture verse for a long time. And then the kids all got old enough and they began picturing their own scripture verses, which is pretty awesome. Verses that we'd pray over them every day. John chapter 15. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not, say, give me a minute. All right, it's on page 742.
Yours is 901.
John chapter 15 says this, beginning with verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. Now watch this. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And then Jesus wraps it up and he says this again. These things I command you so that you will love one another. We're told right there, we're commanded to love one another. Amen. Some of you guys are here like, well, I got no problem loving people. Well, guess what? Some Christians have a hard time loving people. Don't we? Don't raise your hand. If that's you, just say, Lord, help me. Then your prayer is going to sound a lot like mine. God, help me. God, help me. See, why are we commanded to love her? To love other people, because we're human beings and sometimes we need the Holy Spirit to remind us, hey, why don't you love people more? It might not be this big grandiose thing, but it might be something as simple as this. Can I tell you, I love living in the Lakes region. Here's one little tiny reason why. There's a whole lot of reasons why. The other day, I am sitting in the turn lane with my left blinker on, blink, 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 and this person coming towards me flashes their lights at me and they let me go.
That was a miracle.
It was a miracle. It was a Christmas miracle. Can I tell you, growing up in Illinois, in the Chicago area, that never happened. Can I tell you, when I lived in North Carolina, I don't remember, it may have happened. People are trying to drive faster than me, maybe, because here's this young crazy youth pastor driving these country roads in North Carolina. And I can tell you this, it never happened in Southern California. Ever. People just soon cut you off and take your parking spot and then look at you and go, hey, yeah, it was you first.
Blinker's a sign.
Then turn a blinker. Yeah, blinker's a sign of weakness out there.
Speed up.
Yeah, blinker means speed up. Kind of like when the light turns yellow. It doesn't mean speed up. It means slow down. You can make that light, boom. See, that might be an expression of love to somebody that you don't know that they needed. Because when they let me go, I thought, that was so nice. So you know what I did this week when I was driving? I saw somebody needing to make a left turn. JJ wasn't with me. My in-laws are with me in the car. And they got their blinker on, and I'm coming down Laconia Road, and, you know, they've just done all that really nice construction. Finally, it's so nice to just drive down that nice, smooth road. And they got their blinker on, and they're just sitting there and sitting there and sitting there, and I flashed my lights at them, and they turned, and a couple of them waved at me to thank you. Now, that maybe just made their day. I know it made my day. I know the Bible says that I reap what I sow, so I figure I'm going to go ahead and do a little sow, a lot of, I want to do a lot of sowing because I want to reap that. But how many of us, after they take the turn, if they don't wave at you, you go, I'm not going to do that again. They didn't wave and thank me. Well, it doesn't really matter. That, if you let them go, let them go. It's a gift. You just said, turn in front of me. Here, go. That's just a little tiny, small expression of love, but it might be a big deal to somebody that you didn't know that they needed that. Like, oh, Pastor, that's silly. Is it?
Has anyone paid your toll yet?
Yes.
Yes.
Someone has paid my toll. They bought my car. Yeah, I tell you what, somebody. I went to Wayfair one day because I love going to Wayfair.
Did my battery just die? I think it did.
Where'd that other thing go?
Wireless. Yeah, it's here somewhere. I think my battery just died. Looking for batteries.
I don't know where the microphone
is. Oh, here it is.
Time for Tim to get some new batteries. There we go. I'll switch to this guy. I was at Wayfair one time, and you go to Wayfair, and there is a board where people can buy your drinks. And I look up at the board, and I see Tim V. And I go, hey, that's me! To the girl behind the register. I think it kind of scared her because I was all excited. Hey, that's me! And so she said, what can I get you, Tim V? I said, I'd like a vanilla chai tea latte in a mug. Thank you very much. I'm going to enjoy that free tea. I still left her a tip. But it was nice that somebody thought enough to put my name on that board. And I thought, how cool. That made my day. See, the word says, love that's alive grows fruit that remains. Let's talk about that for just a second. See, Jesus calls us friends. He doesn't call us servants because Jesus says, what I've heard the Father make known to me, what God has told me, I want you to know it too. Here's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, I ain't keeping secrets from you, friends. What you need to know, I will tell you. Just ask me. Oftentimes we don't know because we don't ask. Sometimes we do ask. And we might be like, okay, Lord, I'm listening. Are you talking? Keep praying. Keep thanking. God, I thank you that you want to speak to me. Lord, my ears are open. Speak to me in Jesus' name. Lord, I want to hear what you're saying. Thank him for it. I understand sometimes it gets frustrated. I'm praying the prayers. I'm doing all the things I got to do. Well, I'm going to stay steadfast because the book of Galatians tells me that if I don't grow weary in well-doing, I will reap. So God, help me not to get weary and help me to hear you. See, fruit, love that's alive grows fruit that remains. Here's what this is talking about. Fruit that remains, fruit that abides means this. How many of you ever bought fruit at the store and if you leave it in the bowl too long, what happens? It gets gross. Yeah, it spoils and it rots. And if you don't pull the apple out or the orange before the peel starts to get green, everything pretty soon is going to be gross. Then you have fruit flies and it's going to stink. And you're like, why is my kitchen smell? Because you get it. Fruit that remains means we're coming into winter and the fruit of love can be just as fresh in the dead of winter as it is in the beautiful days, first days of spring. That's what the fruit of the Spirit does in our life. It's not just that I love people here, but I don't love them there. I'm gentle this time, but I'm not gentle this time of the year. Fruit that remains. What better place to start with fruitfulness in my life than the fruit of the Spirit that people can eat of, that people can come to and say, I need gentleness. I need love. I need patience. I need joy. Whatever it might be, it's fruit that remains. It is in season, no matter the season. That sounds like good fruit. Not like avocados you buy that are out of season and as hard as rocks. So Jason, go ahead and come on up, or let's bring this to a conclusion. So here's the steps to bearing fruit that remains. Let me share this with you. I want to give you five things. Steps to bearing fruit that remains. Number one, Jesus chose you. This is all from the book of John right here. Jesus chose you. See, it's wonderful that we chose him, but before we chose him, he chose us. If Jesus wouldn't have chose me first, I don't know if I would have chosen him first. I'd like to think that I maybe would have, but the Bible says that God chose you first. Before I even thought about walking down the altar to the altar when I went to vacation Bible school when I was 6 years old, Jesus already called out to me, and I just responded to him. Before I chose him, he chose me. Number two, Jesus set us apart. He's appointed us to bear fruit. He has set us apart to bear fruit. If we're Christians, we should be growing in the fruit of the Spirit. We should be growing in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Why? Because he set us apart. He set us aside and say, okay, you are going to grow. I've appointed you. I've created you. I have made you to be fruitful. So if we're not being fruitful, chances are it's something going on with me. Right? Number three. Not only did Jesus choose us, not only does he set us apart, but then he says, go and bear fruit. And he's talking about reproduce, establish God's kingdom wherever you're at. Take advantage of opportunities, doors that God opens in front of you. God opens doors in front of us all the time. Are we being alert and aware enough to say, God, you've opened a door. I am going to step in that door, and I'm going to see what you want to happen. See, there was a moment last Wednesday, I didn't have to give an altar call at Teddy's service, but I kind of did. Now, I've talked to people in the past, and they say, well, you know, at funerals, that's a really bad time to give an altar call because you're playing with people's emotions. Are you kidding me? Are you seriously kidding me? People are looking for hope, and when a loved one passes away, hope will sustain us to the love that preserves us. Jesus says, go and bear fruit. Number four, he says, ask the Father. Whatever you ask the Father, why can we ask the Father? Because we know his will. If you don't know God's will, Jesus said right there, he said, hey, everything that God told me, I've made it clear to you. If you don't know God's will, get in the Word a little bit more, maybe. I've done that, Pastor. Well, go back and say, Holy Spirit, what am I missing? There's been a lot of times I've gotten the Word, and I just read it, and I'm just reading it, and I'm just reading it, and I'm like, God, I got nothing out of this today. And I'll say, will you breathe on it and bring it to life so something registers with what you're wanting me to get? And I'll go back and read it again, and I'll go, oh, I didn't see that a couple minutes ago. Where'd that come from? It's there the whole time. Ask the Father, because we know what his will is. Ask him what you will. And then this fifth one, God gives. Our God's a giver. Our God's a good God. He wants to give us. He wants to give you your request. Why? Because we know his will. Because we know that he loves us. Well, I don't know if that person deserves my love. They offended me. They did something that really rubbed me the wrong way. I just don't know if I can do that. Well, do you think Jesus has a hard time giving people love? What would Jesus do? I could tell you what Jesus would do. He'd forgive them and get on with it. Have there been people that have done me dirty and done me wrong? Absolutely. But I'm not going to drink the poison and think it's going to affect them. I'm going to forgive and say, God, forgive me. God, you're a giver, so I'm going to be a giver as well. I'm going to give and give and give. Jesus chose us before we chose him. He appointed us to bear fruit that remains, that whatever we ask in the Father's name, he may give us. Because that's just how much he loves us. God's crazy about every single one of us. Tell the person next to you, God's crazy about you. Go ahead, tell him. God's crazy about you. God's crazy about you. God's crazy about you, Stuart. God's crazy about every single one of us. As we come to a conclusion today, Kelly, I ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads. Lord, we just want to say thank you for your goodness, for your love. Lord, thank you for love without end. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that as we've gathered here today, I pray that we've sensed your love, that we've not only felt it, but Lord, that we've experienced your love because you love us so much. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, would you let today be your day? Would you give me the great honor of praying with you just a simple prayer that makes Jesus Lord of your life? Maybe you're here today and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. If that's you, you say, I want to invite him in. Just slip your hand up today and say, that's me. I want to invite Jesus in. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let me ask the second question today. You may be here today and say, you know, Pastor, sometimes I feel like I just need a breath of fresh air on the love in my life. I feel like sometimes I'm a little bit colder than I'd like to be. There's areas in my life that need to experience some revival, a bringing back to life of that which once was alive, but it's kind of dead or dry. If that's you, you say, yeah, Pastor, that's me. I just need the Holy Spirit to breathe some freshness in me. Would you slip your hand up? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hands up all over the place. Good, put your hands down. Church, let me ask you to stand with me. I'm just going to ask you to pray a simple prayer. And as we're praying, I just want to ask, could we just begin to lift up our hands to the Lord? The Bible says that we lift up our hands. It's a sign of surrender. The Word says, lift up holy hands in the sanctuary. We're here in God's house. And as we lift our hands and surrender, our hands are in a position to receive. Would you just repeat these simple words with me? There's nothing magical about the words. It's just a heartfelt prayer. Say, Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I need a fresh infilling of your love in my life. So Holy Spirit, breathe new life into me. I receive your work. I receive your words. I receive your life. I receive your love that reinvigorates. It recharges me. It revitalizes me. So in Jesus' name, I receive all that you're doing in my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, church, could we just, while our hands are lifted, could we just begin to speak praise and thanks to the Lord? Would you just thank the Lord right now? He is breathing freshness in your life right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You might even want to take a breath in and let a breath out. Lord, as we respond today, Lord, we thank you that you are breathing fresh life into us today. Holy Spirit, fresh life, fresh love, fresh grace, fresh anointing, fresh bread for today. Not stale, old, moldy bread, but fresh bread from heaven today. Thank you for your love and your grace and your life, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, in our closing moments, let me just draw your attention to a couple things. 5 o'clock, you heard Pastor Greg share earlier, we're having our family Christmas dinner. It's going to be a great time. If some of you guys can take a few minutes and help us move some chairs and set some tables up, that would be great. It'll lighten the load, and it will be a wonderful blessing. So 5 o'clock, make sure you bring a dish. It'll feed 6 to 8 people. We're going to have a hot cocoa bar. We're going to have, coffee and water.
Cookies.
Christmas cookies. Yeah, it's going to be really awesome. And so it's going to be a great time together. So it'll be here at 5 o'clock at the Bean Center. Also, as you are walking out today, you'll notice on the information table, there's a little card that says Philippines on it with Nicole Malloy's picture on there. Nicole is our missionary to the Philippines. When JJ and I were in Niagara Falls a few months ago for our fall leadership conference, I went over to the missions booth, and I saw these, and I talked to Dave Grasso, who's our district missions rep, and I said, Dave, can I get some of these? Because Nicole's from our church. And he said, I'll send you a bunch of them. So I got these in the mail this week. Would you take one of these with you, maybe put it on your fridge, stick it in your car, and use it as a prayer reminder to pray for Nicole and Aiden. The picture of the little girl here with Nicole is not Aiden. Aiden's a couple skin tones lighter and a whole lot taller than this little sweetie in the picture. But it's a picture of Nicole. And God's doing great things there in the Philippines. So that's for you to have and take with you. Nicole, if you're watching, we love you very much. And so... here's the camera. We love you, Nicole. Well, would you stretch your hands this way and receive this blessing as we get ready to go from this place? Now, Lord, as we've gathered today, we thank you, Jesus, for the hope that we have in you, for the love that we have in you. Jesus, right now, I declare over my friends, I thank you that your word tells us that you are the head and not the tail, that you are above and not beneath, that you are blessed and not cursed, and whatever you set your hands to will prosper in Jesus' name. And if you receive that and agree, would you shout amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, God bless you, everybody. Have a wonderful afternoon. Can some of you guys help us out with tables and chairs?